It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric. I am Gary. The cerebral rubes. No, that's not it.
Credulous boomer rubes.
The constipated rubes. The credulous, yes. Thank you very much. Credulous boomer rubes.
Credulous.
Credulous. To finish my thought from last hour, the clock got in my way.
Yeah, stupid clock.
We were talking to the last caller about, what will eventually happen now that impeachment is over. A lot of people, or that it will probably, in all likelihood, probably soon be over. The Hill reporting that yesterday afternoon, and nothing has changed in that story, that the Republicans may believe they have the votes. They didn't say they have the votes, but they believe they have the votes. But then they said in the luncheon yesterday, witnesses didn't even come up in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So they believe that they have the 51 to, to actually the 50, because you would need four senators.
Right.
Because they don't believe that the Chief Justice is going to get, would get involved in that. So what happens? Because if that's the case, then impeachment will, the trial will likely be over and settled and the president acquitted by Friday night. So what happens next? We look at Russia collusion and the allegations of Trump and how long that went on. People want justice. Number one, they want the truth. And number two, they want justice in some form. And I believe that because you have Durham looking into the origins of Russia collusion, how did this narrative start? How did this whole thing start? We now know. We are connecting the dots all the time in this. And the same people that brought up that Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election and change the outcome of the election, some of the most arrogant people out there promoting that he had to do it, are now wondering whether there will be an indictment on them. The fact that we know the truth, we're getting closer to the truth. We still don't know the whole truth. The fact that just a little over a week ago, we found out that the two of the FISA warrants were bogus. Look, these are really important times in our history. Can you imagine if it was a Republican administration and there were two bogus FISA warrants? Could you imagine how the mainstream media would be looking at this? So there is the process where I believe people in America look at it and they say, we're getting closer to the truth and we're getting closer to at least some kind of justice. Justice isn't perfect. Any human endeavor isn't perfect. But we believe that there's an honest effort to try to find out what happened.
Right.
The same thing has to happen right now with the impeachment process that has gone on here. And this is where I was talking about, Rand Paul and, the discussion. Will he bring it up today to be able to ask his question and out? He hasn't been outed. He was outed a long, long time ago. And as we have stated before, there needs to be an analysis of the entire whistleblower program. Correct?
Yep.
There needs to be a clarification to the American people what the whistleblower program is about and who it applies to. Now, we know the law, but the American people need a clarification, whether it's the courts that clarify it. I don't know. I don't know how they get to this particular point, but it's something that people want to know. The whistleblower is not a whistleblower. Why? Neither whistleblower is a whistleblower number one or whistleblower number two. And whistleblower number one is actually the first whistleblower, because whistleblower two was the one who told whistleblower number one. Whistleblower number one, though, was the second person who took the information that they heard to Adam Schiff's office.
Right.
There needs to be a full examination of what went on. Adam Schiff needs to testify. I don't know what court he testifies in, but he has to be forced to testify.
Well, the American people deserve to know what was shared, what information was shared, at what time, the nature of that information, because the people in that office don't necessarily have the clearance that CIA officer has or had at that time.
Right. We need to know if there was an illegal leak from whistleblower two to whistleblower one. We need to know Adam Schiff's involvement in it. We need to know publicly. We've already said the name of the whistleblower long months ago, mm-hmm. Out there and said, well, look, we don't know. This is the name that's out there. This is who they are alleging is the whistleblower. There has been no official verification of it. But the fact is, a whistleblower is not a whistleblower, because whistleblower law doesn't apply to the president.
Right.
So that's done at that point. The whistleblower law does not protect the anonymity of a whistleblower, simply protects their job. That's it.
Right.
You can't retaliate.
Right. The person that they're complaining against, they cannot retaliate against that person.
And so the Republicans need to challenge that. Now, I'm sure the question's going on, is impeachment the place to challenge that? Well, it is if there is no confidence that the Senate Judiciary Committee isn't going to thoroughly investigate the origins of this bogus impeachment.
Right.
Correct?
Exactly.
Because I just don't want this to end. Well, it's ended and now it's over. No, it's not. Just like Russia collusion wasn't over after the Mueller report. We need to find out the origins of how this absolutely bogus impeachment began. We need to get to the origin, and we need to examine the entire whistleblower program. And if it has to be clarified by the courts, then you clarify it through the federal courts. But there needs to be an investigation, and the people that would do it would be Lindsey Graham and the Senate Judiciary Committee. You just can't forget about it once this is all over.
You know, again, we've asked the question from the beginning. Once it wasn't long when we started learning about the chain of events. If the AG might be actually looking at something already, opening an investigation into somebody or a number of people who worked at the White House, who had classified information, went outside the White House with that information and shared it with quite possibly people who don't have that classification. Because remember, at the time they did that, the transcript itself was on a classified server.
Yep.
That's important, because if they were talking to staffers at Adam Schiff's office who did not have the same clearance level, Even if they did, it's quite possible that they broke protocol. I don't know what laws may have been broken, but there are things that you cannot share, even if somebody else has that classified, unless they're in that same capacity and they're working in the same capacity of that CIA officer or whoever has that information.
Here's what I look at in the leaking law. You had whistleblower two,
mm-hmm.
who transferred the information of what they heard, at least one of the sources, to whistleblower one.
Right.
That at that time was classified information.
Yes.
That classified information was then somehow communicated to somebody on Schiff's staff. Just because you have whistleblower status does not mean that you go to a congressional staff member and tell them that you have something. We need to know what they told them at
right.
that point.
Right, right.
Because actually, whistleblower two to whistleblower one, I believe, is an illegal leak. That's an illegal leak of classified information.
Mm-hmm.
That's not supposed to, just because you have top secret clearance doesn't mean
you get to share it, right,
exactly. That you get to share it with whoever. Well, they got it, so I'm just going to share it in order to leak it.
No, if you because if you're serving in the same capacity, in the same similar role, if they were serving together in that role and sharing, I guess, that that role, if there were two or three officers assigned to that, that would be one thing. But that's not what happened.
But since the whistleblower law doesn't apply to any of it,
mm-hmm. that's leaking.
There
that's...
is no immunity,
no.
in my opinion, from leaking top secret information
no.
when the whistleblower law doesn't apply to it. And the president, his lawyers, whatever, should look for legal action after this is all over. Now, one of the reasons they didn't want to do it here. Did you hear this? They didn't want to bring it up. The defense lawyers didn't want to bring it up because they thought that Adam Schiff, at that point, if the defense brought it up, might try to jump in and have another charge of trying to intimidate a witness.
Right.
Or obstruction of justice or intimidating a witness at that point. So they felt this isn't the arena to bring it up. The arena to bring it up is probably not today. If you got the votes, end this thing, but have a very vibrant investigation of the entire process, because I believe laws were broken.
Right.
And nobody's been able to explain to me how I'm wrong on that analysis, that it was an elite. If the whistleblower law doesn't apply, then any top secret information, any classified information that's transferred from one party to another party along that way and then leaks, somebody broke the law.
Yes.
It's that simple. And the whistleblower law does not apply to the president.
No.
It only applies to those inside the intelligence agencies, and that's not the problem. They need to go and get a court clarification on that.
Now,
if I know it, Barr knows it.
Yeah. We suspected
analysis.
It wasn't too long after we started learning about the chain of events involving the so-called whistleblowers, or as we call them, leakers, that we asked that question. Could we quite possibly see the Attorney General taking action on this? I think it would be his duty. If it is, look, the information is known. It's being talked about in the media, right? Now, you can say this hasn't been confirmed, that hasn't been confirmed. That's not the point. As soon as the AG learns about something like that, that's a massive, massive, massive problem. You know the White House had communication with the DOJ, with Barr, and said, this is a huge problem. Because look at, even aside from this, look at all the leaks that came from this White House. Now, we don't know, we know that Comey's a leaker.
Yep.
Anybody basically,
McCabe.
Yeah, anybody that disagreed with the president along the way, and that's a whole lot of people. In fact, I've said time and time again, unless their last name is Trump or Kushner, if I'm this president, I trust no one else. And it seriously, and
not even,
and you
not
got
even his wife.
Well, she's a Trump.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say, I don't know about Barron though. The jury's still out there. But no.
Leave the kid out of it.
Kid, he's like 6'5" now. But the whole thing is a whole chain of events of leakers. What if it got back to certain people that were in roles, the names you don't know, in roles that were privy to information along the way, right? I mean, it always goes back to a spokesperson or, you know, Conway, right? It's been all over the place. Who's the leaker? A chief of staff or somebody that works with the chief of staff or, well, what if it's people that have highly sensitive information? What if it is, again, operatives, Trump haters in the intelligence community?
Well, we are going to find out both whistleblowers, officially. Yes. We know whistleblowers one name. We're going to find out both names because anonymity is not protected and there will be lawsuits.
Yes. Right. There has to be charges.
Yeah, they'll,
if they broke the law, there has to be charges.
Yeah, there'll be lawsuits, but the whole thing is you need to. But the time to get to the bottom of it is after the president's been acquitted. And then you say, okay,
exactly.
This has been a flawed process, which we believe was based on illegal activity. And then you go from that point forward on it and present whatever you can to the. But you have, if the Senate Judiciary Committee should get on it.
Mm-hmm.
And they should subpoena, as far as I'm concerned, they should subpoena Adam Schiff.
Yes.
You come here and then however you go to the courts, however you do it to make it official, because there seems to be this thing that you can't say, you know, that they can't bring up the whistleblower, even though there is no law that designates it, then go to the courts.
Because
go to the courts.
What's their
only courts? Go to the courts. If you got to do this, go to the courts and get a ruling on it. Does this apply as and I don't know anybody that says the whistleblower has anonymity protection or that the whistleblower law applies to the president of the United States.
No, you can't make that case.
Because remember, what was it? From the president's point of view, there's nothing wrong here. This is foreign policy.
Exactly.
But it was secret. It was classified foreign policy.
And you don't get to leak it.
You don't get to leak it.
And by the way, what was their argument when they were talking about anonymity? The argument didn't come up in the legal sense. It was,
they're
getting threats.
Yeah.
It's their safety.
Yeah.
Adam Schiff has used that before.
Yes, he
over
has.
And over again.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Since oil is like the blood of your engine, the benefits of oil analysis go beyond preventative maintenance. If you're considering buying a new car, vehicle, motorcycle, or even diesel machinery, an oil analysis can help identify any issues lurking under that washed and waxed hood. You might want to reconsider your purchase if a lab report shows high levels of metal in the oil. For fleet managers, oil analysis can help minimize downtime, as well as safely extend drain intervals, meaning less money spent on oil, filters, and labor. Like a blood test, oil analysis shouldn't be a one-and-done item on your maintenance checklist. Although a single sample is useful in providing a snapshot evaluation, especially where a component problem is suspected, used oil analysis is best used when results can be compared to many samples taken over a period of time. Cenex recommends that diesel engines be analyzed monthly or every 250 hours, and gasoline engines every 3,000 miles. For more information, visit Cenex.com.
This maintenance tip is brought to you by TA Truck Service. More bays, more expertise, more solutions.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara. He is Eric Harley, 866-90-RED-EYE. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, we'll get to more of your calls and comments and also more audio from yesterday. Question and answer period today. We'll also relate to you that Hill story from thehill.com. Really, if you think about it, is saying in a I don't know, very subtle way that they've got the votes.
Right.
They got the votes on the witnesses. This is the Republicans to have no witnesses. And they didn't update the story from like 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon and making the case that when the Republicans had their luncheon yesterday, witnesses never came up. And so the thought process is they're not out there bragging about it too much. They're saying things like, yeah, we think we'll get there. But they claim that they believe that they have the numbers for no witnesses. If they do, that means impeachment and the whole trial likely over and the president acquitted by Friday night.
Yeah, it'll move fairly quickly on Friday, yeah. I guess.
can listen live on our app, in your app store, or RedEyeRadioShow.com. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. By the way, yesterday, I was in conversation with a couple of friends, and a few of them were asking me about, whether I was, paying attention to what the proceedings going on yesterday. And I said, yeah, basically here's my analysis of it. Well, I'll let Alex from Rush at the Hall of Fame ceremony give it to you.
Yeah.
And it was, remember when they got inducted?
Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah.
Alex Lifeson, lead guitarist for Rush.
He did it.
It was so funny, too.
And he did it for it for a significant period of time. I know.
Yeah. It was great.
Here's the story from The Hill. This is really the only story. That was my point. Everything else is blah, 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 blah.
Right, exactly.
It was clear to Senate Republicans on Wednesday after a morning meeting between Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senator Lisa Murkowski that the question of having additional witnesses is settled, and the Senate will vote Friday to wrap up the impeachment trial of President Trump. There was no discussion of witnesses at a Senate GOP lunch meeting on Wednesday, which was held a couple of hours after McConnell and Murkowski met for 20 to 30 minutes, according to TheHill.com. That was seen as a sign by several senators that Democrats will fail to convince four Republicans to join them in calling for witnesses. Without a vote to hear from witnesses, the trial could end as soon as Friday. Said Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota, we're going to get it done by Friday, hopefully. Following the meeting, Senator Mike Braun, emerging from the lunch, I think I can say the mood is good.
Yeah.
Braun expressed confidence that McConnell will be able to keep his conference unified enough to defeat a motion to consider subpoenas for additional witnesses and documents. If I had to guess, no witnesses, he said. We'll be in a place where I think everyone is going to have their mind made up, and I believe that we'll be able to move to a verdict, and the witness question will be clear at that point. Murkowski did not attend the lunch. Senator Mitt Romney, who has been the most outspoken advocate for calling additional witnesses, declined to comment as he left the lunch.
Mm.
Romney and Senator Susan Collins are both expected to back witnesses. Murkowski has been seen as a third possible vote, although she has not announced any decision. Instead of discussing the possibility of having former National Security Advisor John Bolton appear as a witness at the trial at Wednesday's meeting, lawmakers talked about voting Friday to move quickly to an up or down vote on two articles of impeachment. There was no discussion about that today, talking about witnesses. Instead, the discussion was how we will move forward from this point. So that's from The Hill. It's funny because they had it, and I don't know if you were thinking this yesterday, but after I read that article, I went, how come this isn't the lead story everywhere?
Well, because remember when it was the other way. Remember they did a just an informal vote. Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, had a caucus of Republicans there and gave them each three cards. One card said yes, one card said no, one card said maybe. And the story came out and it was very different. The Hill story, Hill version, said GOP is confident that they will have the votes essentially by Friday. I mean, I'm paraphrasing the headline, but the Wall Street, I think it was Wall Street Journal, said GOP does not have the votes to block witnesses. Well, the stories were similar. The headlines were very different. So, and by the way, that was shared of the GOP doesn't have the votes. That type of headline was seen, fairly wide. I don't know. I probably saw it four or five other places, right? Well, now that they do have the vote, you're not seeing it anywhere except for The Hill. All right. You look again at the heart of the story. the other day, they were pretty much where I thought it was a non-story, because it was probably got down to Murkowski, Romney, and Collins. And yesterday morning, Mitch McConnell has a meeting. Murkowski's involved. We know where Romney stands. And actually, yesterday, Romney didn't even, he had no comment on the witness thing. They get to their luncheon, and there's no talk of witnesses. Well, if you play everything out, it like, you know, there's a, I think a decent, this, there's, this theory is a decent theory, and that is, Mitch McConnell said in that luncheon meeting yesterday, or in that meeting yesterday morning, or at some point, we're going to have a vote up or down on witnesses, and each side can call the witnesses they want. It's not going to be a name. It's not going to be a list. It's going to be, do we want witnesses? Yay or nay. And that's how it's going to play out, because if you believe that this side should have witnesses, you must believe, and by the way, he'd be right if this did happen, because we were saying it, the defense should be able to call witnesses. Not just one side.
And we had said this and pushed this really hard last night. And when I woke up yesterday, I saw the president tweeted it out. And so we're claiming the president listened to our show last night.
Good morning, Mr. President.
Because we had just pounded last night that the Republican should be pounding. The president hasn't been able to call one defense witness.
Right.
And the prosecution that's led by Adam Schiff is trying to tell the defense that they can't call any witnesses. Run with that!
Yes,
and
exactly.
I woke up and the president had that in his tweet.
Exactly.
We haven't been able to call one defense witness, and the other side doesn't want us to have one defense witness. You can't beat that. You can't, I don't care how you spin that. You can't win that political argument.
You can't. And by the way, Mr. President, you're listening to Red Eye Radio on our great affiliate, WMAL.
Blah, 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 blah.
Shut up, big guy.
Let's go to Richard in Las Vegas. Richard, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Hi, Richard.
Richard, I don't see a...
It's Michael in Las Vegas.
Okay.
I don't know how Michael became Richard.
I don't know.
I have no idea.
How did Michael become Richard?
I have no idea.
It's all the same, right?
Wow, I'm delusional, too.
Gentlemen, hello.
Hi.
No worries. How are you this evening?
Very good.
Listen, I just want to kind of run something by you. I'm sitting here thinking about basically ahead here when Trump wins re-election. What are the Democrats going to do? Now, if they retain control of the House, it's going to be similar, you know, impeachment talk. The big thing with them, I think, is the Supreme Court. Maybe they're going to try to use the fact that he's been impeached to give them reason to not nominate a Supreme Court nominee. If that one does come up, Ginsburg is about ready to go. Who knows with her? So there's going to be a seat available. Maybe they're going to try to use the fact that he was impeached to not give him a nominee.
They can't stop. If he's got the Senate, they can't stop.
Yeah, because the House won't be involved.
House isn't involved at all. And
the House is not involved. Well, the House is not involved in the impeachment trial in the Senate either, but they're making enough noise to give these witnesses. It's just enough noise.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's not going to affect.
But it doesn't change the votes, though.
It doesn't.
On SCOTUS.
Supreme Court is strictly about the votes that you have.
Yeah.
And Trump, in fact, it'll be the opposite way. Trump has been acquitted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to, by the way, you know, he may be booed by Democrats next week when he talks about impeachment.
Right.
You know, and saying, I was exonerated, or it was a bipartisan acquittal if he gets a couple of votes on that side. But
thanks, Michael.
No, it doesn't matter. Again, you're talking about public. You're talking about the propaganda that each party will attempt to always put out. Every side puts out or promotes or markets. I'll put it that way. That's mm-hmm. a nicer way of saying it than propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
Every side markets what they believe accentuates the positive.
Yeah,
Democrats by doing that are not going to stop the Republicans if they have a majority in the Senate from saying, well, no, we're Republicans and we're going to reject any nominee the president brings up because the House impeached him by a partisan vote. That's right. Not happening.
No, not going to happen.
No.
I think there is a roadmap to Republicans taking the House. Well, of course, there's a roadmap. But, I mean, I think it's a pretty solid roadmap right now. If you look at the 31, 32 Democrats that are in those states where there's heavy support for the president, I expect that if, I mean, honestly, there's nothing between here and November 3rd. After Friday, if impeachment is over on Friday, there's really nothing between here and there because
no.
You've got the China deal done. You got USMCA.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
in terms of anything slowing the president down.
Well, who knows what they may come up with next.
Well, but
it's not going to have the oomph because they've already, and this is right here. They're right, this from Front Page Mag and Daniel Greenfield's column, Impeachment is Killing Trump Derangement Syndrome. And just going through here, the Iran-Contra hearings beat regular programming on the big three networks, which aired them live and without commercial breaks. 20 million turned in to watch Anita Hill against Justice Clarence Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 71% of Americans watched the Watergate hearings live.
Yeah.
Television hearings had worked for the Democrats before, and they doubled down on them now. Around 20 million watched Comey's testimony and the attempt to Thomas judge Kavanaugh. I like that. I was going to talk about. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
judge
Clarence
Kavanaugh.
Thomas, yeah.
Exactly. Michael Cohen's appearance took ratings down to 15 million.
Mm.
Mueller's appearance brought them 13 million.
Mm.
The first day of the House impeachment proceedings was watched by 13 million. The first day of the Senate impeachment trial saw ratings fall to under 12 million. By the second day, they had fallen to 9 million. And they looked at Google Trends that are down. They went through, and he goes through just everything. He goes, what's the point? The ratings declines reflects public sentiment that the trial is pointless and fatigue with Trump derangement syndrome that has kept them going for years.
Yeah.
You can only hit the rage button so many times, and then the rats will no longer stir from their cages.
Right.
So the only
thing is that, you know, they want to take that risk. Great. I honestly do believe that there's probably inside the party, especially in the House, there's probably a lot of disappointment in Adam Schiff and the way this thing went down because it's coming back so negatively. Now, again, they have to take their ownership, whether they're Nadler or Pelosi or any of them. And whoever voted, they got to take ownership of that. But if they're not learning their lesson, it will tell you how desperate they are, but they risk a complete failure all over again. I'm telling you, if they go at it again, if they start something new into the summer, it's only going to tear away at the support for anybody who's going to be the candidate on the left.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric. I'm Gary. One of the questions or one of the statements we made was after this is all over, because this does end Friday, there needs to be investigation of the entire whistleblower law. We go to Pete in Riverside, California. Pete, welcome. Peter, you're on Red Eye Radio. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
Very good.
Hey, first thing is Schiff. Why does everybody go to Schiff with stuff? I mean, isn't there some sort of chain of command that's supposed to follow? I mean,
for the whistleblower?
Everybody who's anybody, you know. Yeah, they're just going wherever the hell they feel. Everybody goes straight to him. Isn't there like a chain of command or something?
Well, he was the chair of the House Intelligence Committee.
Yeah, but there's still a chain of command, right?
No. You're right. No, it should actually in the CIA, and this differs from other agencies. The protocol is to go to the ICIG, the Intelligence Community Inspector General, first, and then the ICIG takes it directly to the CIA director, and that's how it should have gone.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Yeah.
Why? Right, but that's supposed to be used internally inside of the CIA.
Exactly.
It doesn't apply to the president.
Right.
So is that why he went to Schiff?
Because
he knew the law didn't apply.
I probably, but that's a great theory. We've never brought that up. That's a great theory. because you know it doesn't apply here, but you've got to get it to somebody who, A, is a political enemy of the president, somebody who has a considerable power in the House.
Ah, what was the communication back to the inspector general? Was it, I've been to Adam Schiff's staff and they told me to come back to you, knowing he's ahead of the intelligence committee, and that might...
I would love, because...
Hypothetically?
There you have it. The ICIG needs to testify as well. What were you told?
Yes, absolutely.
What were you told?
Yes.
Because here's the question. Why didn't the so-called whistleblower go to the Senate Intelligence Committee? I think we all know why.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. From the Pilot Flying J Studios, this is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the world, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. RedEyeRadioShow.com. We stream live or get our app. Listen whenever. In the news this morning,
I have never lived at a more divisive time in the United States of America than today. Families are broken up. Friends don't speak to each other. Dialogue has disappeared on university campuses. We live in extraordinarily dangerous times.
Alan Dershowitz yesterday at the question, and it was the Q&A of the impeachment trial, telling all Americans that we're doomed. Here's the Democrat House Manager, Representative Zoe Lofgren.
Just as, although this is not a criminal offense, if you attempted murder but didn't succeed, you would not be innocent. The president has attempted to upend the constitutional order for his own personal benefit.
Wow.
Because
foreign
policy and murder are exactly the same.
Well, it's funny because she says there's no criminal action here. She's, you know, she goes, if you're murder, well, there is no criminal action here, you know, with the, there is no crime that they're talking about. And so what does she bring up? The worst crime known to mankind, and tries to make the relation. This is how weak their case was.
Yeah.
If you want to run down what they're basically, what they basically tried to do yesterday with the Democrats is what they've tried to do, which says as long as you can come up with some type of corrupt intent, even if. What they're saying is that Trump, because Dershowitz was saying this, and he said it a number of times, and so the murder thing came up. Well, Dershowitz is saying that Trump could go out and commit murder. And as long as he thought if he was doing it for the benefit of the United States, it would be the right, that would be okay and not impeachable. And of course, he wasn't saying that. What Dershowitz was saying was in normal politics in the United States, every single politician does things for their own personal political interest that is also an issue that they believe is right for America. Otherwise, Andrew Yang is committing bribery.
Yes.
Because he's saying, vote for me and I'll give you $1,000.
Right. Give me power, I'll give you money.
Right.
And it's not even my money that I'm giving you.
Exactly. And that is... That is the insanity of what the Democrats are doing right now. And that's the case. If you want to look at it in a nutshell and very quickly, that's what they tried to do. Now, it sort of was yesterday. By the time it all started, it was sort of for me, blah, 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 blah. Because when the Hill.com came out with the story that said, Republicans got the votes. After a breakfast meeting that McConnell had with Lisa Murkowski, They didn't talk about the witnesses when it came to lunchtime, where they normally plan and decide what they're going to do. No discussion of witnesses. It's the process of following what are we going to do, and they wish to end this whole thing on Friday. So thehill.com, nobody's coming out and publicly stating we have the votes. But since there's no discussion on it after he talked to Lisa Murkowski, what they're telling thehill.com, and I thought this would be the biggest story of all yesterday, and it seemed that the media was downplaying it. I know Chris Matthews, for example, on MSNBC was saying, well, it looks like everything's going in their way. I wouldn't be surprised if Trump is reelected, which means he's, you know, this thing is over and it's not going the way that they wish it to go. And, you know, you made a point last hour, and we really didn't delve into it, about what the repercussions will be. Remember after Nadler blew it.
Yeah.
Remember the how they pounded on him.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be worse now. You don't see it right now, but I think in the next couple of weeks, people are going to, you're going to have Democrats analyzing the failed strategy of the Democrats and why it didn't work. Well, because they brought something that was completely and totally bogus.
Well, they did. And I think going forward, too, they're going to have somebody to blame. You know, the liberals want to, liberal media wants to have a fall guy. And they really don't care who it is anymore. You know, I think there are a number of, I mean, again, we go back to Obama. He's not as popular as he used to be. We go back to a number of them. I mean, along the way, there has to be some kind of reckoning. In other words, they have to blame somebody for Trump's win in November if he wins, because they can't possibly give him the credit for winning, right? So there has to be a bad guy. There has to be a fall guy.
There's got to be a victim, and there's got to be an oppressor.
And so I think that they'll look at this and say, you know, Nadler blew it, Schiff blew it, or Nancy blew it, and they really won't care. It won't matter. But when the polls, you know, start showing this or that, or on November 3rd, if he wins and wins with no problem whatsoever, I think they're going to look to, again, blame somebody, because they can't possibly give him the credit. They can't possibly give the credit to the voters, the supporters that he has, and the energy right now in his base. And it's, you know, it's typical. They don't want to credit something. Remember in 2016, right after the election, a couple of members of the media, I think it was at the New York Times, maybe we need to put on some coveralls and go to the heartland. Then they went to lunch and came back and said, wait a minute, sorry. We must have been delusional. And, of course, that wasn't going to happen. But if you were to be intellectually honest, you would look at the support for Trump and why it's there. But they can't do that. It must be something else.
One thing that we need to make sure that we talk about here before the weekend, so we might as well talk about it now because it happened earlier this week, was the special election held in the state of Texas that was supposed to be a bellwether, you know, election. You know, this could be an indicator of whether the Democrats can take Texas. And Republican Gary Gates won decisively. Beat the Democrat candidate, Liz Markowitz, 58-42%. Now, the important thing is you had Beto O'Rourke, you know, jumped on this. He was down there for a month. They thought they had a chance at this district.
Right.
It was a small district. Impeachment overshadowed all of this over the last month, but this is something that they thought they were going to get. And as Gates said afterwards, this was a race, as you know, it brought in a lot of national attention, and they thought it was a seat they could flip. He said, drawing shouts of no way and don't mess with Texas. So it was a special election that was held. So I think they do it again in November.
Yeah, I think so.
And I don't know. And I don't know if she's still going to run. If she claims she's going to do it again. So. Run again on it, but it will be interesting to see. But we must note it, because the Democrats especially were just pounding on this as their chance to do it. And O'Rourke took this, you know, leaving the you know, he thought that he could take his celebrity that, hey, I might not be able to do it nationally, but, you know, statewide, I've got this thing.
Right.
And he went in there and spent, I've heard a month he was there, almost a full month going out and campaigning every day. Didn't work.
No. Look, I think there are some things that are moving that are shifting right now. And you look, what I believe we're going through is this cultural war. But it is, you have a great number of Americans that really want to kind of redefine who we are as a nation. They're proud of who we are as a nation. And then you have the other side that really doesn't have any belief. You've asked this question how many times? If you don't believe in the Constitution, what do you believe in? If you don't believe that we're a nation of laws, what do you believe in? If you don't believe that we should have borders, if you believe we should have open borders, then really what do you think this country is? And I think there's a pushback that will be measured between now and certainly on November 3rd.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because that was my thought, and you reignited that thought back into my brain again when I played the Dershowitz cut, where he said, you know, this country, it's just so divisive. But there's a reason. There's a reason we see what's happening with Trump right now. There's a reason why there seems to be no communication between it. And it's like, how can't we communicate? We used to be able to talk to each other. Well, one of the reasons is that, look, nothing happens in a vacuum. It all relates. Look at where they stand on the issues. Look at where the Democrat Party is on the issues. Look at the person who has, I believe, the spiritual control of the Democrat Party, which is AOC. AOC is as radical as you can possibly get. The Democrat candidates, look at Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is running. Thank goodness you mentioned this earlier off the air to me. We've got a candidate right now who could take Iowa and New Hampshire, who is furious that there's too many choices for deodorant in the supermarket.
Think about it. Look at the party right now. Here are the leading candidates. The number one guy only wants to do push-ups, apparently. The number two guy believes there are too many choices with deodorant. With either of them, their opponent wants to secure the border and improve the economy.
Exactly. And when you have an opposition, and thank goodness that you brought it up, because it goes right into everything that we have said. When you don't believe, and this is not over-the-top rhetoric, it's what they believe. Now, there are some in the Democrat Party that are revolting, but not the majority anymore.
No.
When you don't believe in the First Amendment, when you believe that some people shouldn't, you know, look, Elizabeth Warren, there should be criminal charges now if you lie on the Internet. Well, who's going to make that distinction? And right. By the way, have you ever decided what that ethnicity you are, where your kids have gone to school? I mean, it's just everything. And you said this a long time ago. You said, pay attention. Everything they want to do is to make your life harder.
They want to punish.
Right. They want to punish. And that's the opposite, the complete opposite. When you don't believe in the First Amendment, when you don't believe in freedom of religion, when you don't believe in freedom of speech, when you don't believe in the Second Amendment, when you don't believe in due process under the law, as we're seeing right now, when you don't believe in the morality of due process, if this may not be under criminal law, but politically, if you don't believe in the morality of due process for everyone, even people that you disagree with, oh, the president doesn't get any witnesses. If you don't believe in the Electoral College, if you don't believe in the Senate, if you don't believe in the Republic and how it's set up to have representation for all the 50 states, so the minority doesn't have to succumb to the tyranny of the majority. If you don't understand those and you believe that those things are major failures in this country, we have nothing to talk about.
Right.
I don't know where to start a conversation with you. So when you talk about the impeachment, it goes further than just impeachment. None of these things happen in a vacuum. It's the ideology that they are embracing now is not compatible with what we believe. That's why we can't communicate.
That's it. That's it.
There is no compromise. I'm not going to agree and say, okay, look, you want to take away freedom of speech from 20%. The compromise is 10.
Right.
There is no compromise there.
No.
And so that's one of the things that I think when you look at the big picture, you know, Dershowitz is talking about all these things of divisiveness, but there is a reason. It doesn't start with impeachment. It starts with incompatible ideologies.
Yes.
And that a major political party is being taken over by a radical socialist / communist totalitarian mindset based on, I know they're accusing the other side of doing it, but you cannot, if you look at the facts of what the other side believes, and I'm talking about the Republicans, you can't make that case.
No.
You can make it for the Democrats. Look at the Green New Deal right there. Government will take over all of industry.
Yep.
Sorry. Spin it however you want. That's communism. That's socialism.
Yep.
And remember, wonderful thing. Remember the presidential candidates talking about it? If they don't believe it, they ought to fight her. Well, you know, they're just giving her. No, you don't give deference and say, well, she's just young. If she's an adult, she's in the arena of ideas. If you're a Democrat and you disagree with it, you come out loudly and say, get that radical out of here. They're not doing that. They're embracing it and saying, oh, she's extremely smart. Well, we might temper it just a little bit, but she's so excited. She's not smart.
So you look at the person she endorses, the candidate she endorses.
Yep.
Think about this. The Politico story on Monday. Democrats don't know what to do with Bernie because if he's the guy, they want to support him. They don't want to tear him down. But they don't want him to be the guy. Not just because he can't win against Trump. Tell me how Congress, even the Democrats, would cooperate with Bernie. Tell me.
That's his own party.
Forget about Republicans. Yep. That would be a great embarrassment because they would not be going along with him on, I would venture to say, most things.
866-90-RED-EYE.
President Trump presided over a ceremony at the White House to sign
the brand new U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Very special.
The three-way agreement, called the USMCA, replaces NAFTA.
And in a true sense, it's also a partnership with Mexico and Canada and ourselves against the world. It's really a trade partnership if you look at it that way.
He says the agreement will add 1.2% to the country's GDP, and he calls the agreement a breakthrough for American agriculture.
Canada will finally provide greater access for American dairy. Canada's opening up. It will grow annual exports to our neighbors by an estimated $315 million. Poultry exports to Canada are expected to rise by at least 50%, and egg export could increase by 500%.
The deal also includes greater access for American-grown wheat to Canada. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So what it looks like is you're going to have the question and answers today. How long it will go on, who knows? And then tomorrow, I don't know what the schedule is for what time they're supposed to meet, but if they've got the votes, I wouldn't expect that the deliberations before having that vote would take too long, and then they'll go back and deliberate again, and by tomorrow night, it could be Friday night, it could be all over.
You know, I honestly, behind the scenes, probably Bernie and Warren are probably looking at it going, look, if we're going to get to acquittal here, let's not carry on the deliberations too long. We got to get to Iowa, and we'll see if that happens on Friday. Here's your forecast.
Talk is amongst most meteorologists that people have been commenting to us what a mild winter it's been so far. And there have been pockets of isolated severe weather this winter. But overall, we've been experiencing a very mild winter. Same is true for today. We have some snow in the Pacific Northwest that's made its way over the Cascades. And we will see that snow dump into portions of northern Idaho and Montana. As you move southward, Salt Lake City will be free of any snow flurries. A little bit of flakes flying in Denver for a high today under increasing clouds of 47 degrees. For Phoenix, 69 and sunny. Seattle, rain through Saturday, a 51-degree high for today. It'll be in the 40s overnight, so no threats of snow there. Los Angeles, 76 and sunny. 42, the high for Dallas today under cloudy skies. For Friday, 56 in Dallas, Saturday, 65. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Have more flexibility after the election. Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
They put this forward in an aggressive and fast-paced way. And now they're saying, now we need witnesses. After 31 or 32 times you said you proved every aspect of your case. That's what you said.
Wow. Yeah. Looking at the managers.
Yes. Yeah, that's why the volume went down just a tiny bit, because he turned his head and looked at the managers. I have finally moved on from him on the 700 Club.
No, we have a new... Yeah, no, there's a new memory.
Yes, there's a new memory.
Yeah, Mr. Seculo. But this is what it comes down to. You know, look at the insane, very basics of this. They would not allow the president... they didn't allow him the courtesy of defending himself in the House. They didn't allow the courtesy of the minority party getting subpoena power. They did not pursue the same witnesses that they want in the Senate trial during the House proceedings. And they don't want the defense to have any witnesses.
They would deny the defense... any witnesses.
Yes.
Any witnesses.
So think about that. Put that all together, and what do you have? A heaping, steaming pile of garbage. And Mr. Seculo did it just perfectly, just what we said days ago. He says it better, especially in that setting. He turns, you guys said you proved your case. He said, you know, you said it, what did he say, 31 times, whatever it was? You said it.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You proved your case. You don't need witnesses. It's already done. Because this isn't about them getting to removal. If you in your mind have been, well, I'm going to remain independent. I'm not going to go one way or the other, and I'm just going to wait and see the blah, 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 Mitt Romney, this whole thing. No. You need to realize it was never going to get to a two-thirds for removal. So the only point of bringing Bolton in is so they get, it's the equivalent of the perp walk, you know, or having, remember the bank CEOs all standing there in a row several years ago when they had to go testify after the big meltdown. Mm-hmm. And then they all had their hands up in the air. That's what they want you to see. They want John Bolton, who worked with the president as national security advisor, now a defector, an enemy of the president. They want that whole thing to play out in the media just so they believe get some advantage in the election cycle. It's not going to happen. It's not working, and it will be over soon.
You just said it's not working when, and it looks like, again, from the Hill.com article yesterday, and they didn't update it and say there was any change, and they're called the Hill because they're on the Hill.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that if this thing is over, which it looks like it is, that it's over and will end sometime tomorrow, what have the Democrats gained out of it? In the last couple of days, we were talking about how what an easy sell this is for the Republicans, rhetorically.
Right.
We mentioned yesterday, we said, why aren't they pounding on the fact that the Democrats would deny the president one witness?
Yeah, right.
They don't want the president to have one single witness. The defense shouldn't be able to call anybody throughout the entire process, because the only witnesses that the Republicans were even allowed to call in the House, and that's not the president, there's a difference, were the ones that the Democrats agreed to.
Yep.
The prosecution doesn't get to dictate to the defense who their witnesses are. The judge and the jury, they are the ones that will look and say, okay, are these relevant or not, you know, to the case? But the jury ultimately will say, wait a minute, that you're hurting, you're not relevant to anything here, you know, whatsoever. So you're not going to win that one. And you and I pounded on it yesterday, and then was one of the first tweets that the president put out yesterday, which made us believe, okay, good morning, Mr. President.
Mm-hmm.
And, I could beat you at golf.
It's on.
But you sit and you see politically, and so you wonder, is there going to be a price to pay, and who pays that price?
Mm.
Is this the end of Nancy Pelosi, because she is the one that chooses, whether it's as Speaker of the House next year or the House Minority Leader? Is she done? Is it time? Will there be pressure for her to resign? Does the influence, when you look at, if you look at Democrats, it should move up. Do you want somebody who should move up? Look, I think the Senate Judiciary Committee should look at the whole whistleblower thing. You and I talked about this.
Right, yeah.
It's imperative, just like on Russian collusion, when they went all the way back, as they're doing now, and there's a criminal investigation going on as to how the whole Trump colluded with the Russians to hack the election started. We know now that at least two bogus secret warrants that were gotten by the FBI. We know there's a grand jury now. The whole criminal investigation is now looking at those and that party and that administration that was accusing the president of wrongdoing. It's going the opposite now.
Yep.
I think that the same thing should happen here, that there should be an investigation. Number one, they need to get legal rulings on the whistleblower law.
Yes.
What is a whistleblower?
Right. Exactly.
You know, because that has not been defined. Now, you know, we talked briefly about Rand Paul not being able to get the whistleblower's name in yesterday. The leaker, we just say whistleblower because people understand who it is. We do that just because that's in our culture. That's, it's easily understandable. Not a whistleblower. Whistleblower law, number one, doesn't apply to the president.
Nope.
Falsehood number two is their anonymity is not guaranteed. That's not a part of it. It's that you won't be retaliated at in your job. That's it.
Yep.
That's all you get.
Yep.
And so I do see challenges there, and you need to get to the bottom of it. And I think that Adam Schiff should be forced by a subpoena to testify before the House Judiciary Committee, whether he fights it or not. But it's time to go on the attack like they did, trying to find out what happened with Russian collusion.
Yep.
Same thing here. You and I talked about, should the Department of Justice get involved in it? If the whistleblower law does not apply to either whistleblower, because the whistleblower law applies in-house to the CIA and other intelligence agencies, it does not apply to the president.
Right.
And the process was not followed, and the whistleblower went to the House Intelligence Committee staff and not the IG of the intelligence community.
Right.
And so the process wasn't followed. It wasn't a true whistleblower because it doesn't apply to the president. So at that point, you're leaking classified information and you have no protection from anything.
No.
And so at that point, that means laws were broken. When does the Department of Justice really get involved in it? And what's the House Judiciary Committee going to do? And I believe they need, look, we're going to know. We already know who the, well, we believe we know. Eric, I can't think of his last name. The first whistleblower.
Right,
we said his name ages ago because it said, look, there's no problem. And I don't know if he is or not. That's who somebody is claiming is the whistleblower. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's never been confirmed officially.
Right.
So, but the entire point is, the laws were broken.
Right.
So it's going to be official. We're going to know officially who both are eventually. And then we're going to be able to know the politics involved in it, whether there were illegal leaks that were done at that point, and what Adam Schiff's role is. It's time to turn the tables on them. Now,
yeah,
is it today in the question and answer period with Rand Paul? Mm. If you get a little bit of publicity to make it a move, maybe. But really, this is up to me in the hands of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Yeah.
And if they do investigations on it, and then if you got criminal referrals, go to the Justice Department on it, unless the Department of Justice already is on it because of what they believe are illegal leaks.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're probably, there's probably something in motion right now at AG Barr's office looking into that, because you know the office knows the White House rather knows everybody that was involved. They know who the leakers are. At this point, they do.
By the way, I got this in here. Impeach Roberts. He can't tell a senator what he can and cannot say at a trial. Impeach Justice Roberts.
Yeah,
no,
that's not going to happen.
If the judge makes a wrong ruling, he can be overruled by a vote. They don't impeach him for that.
No, they do not.
Yes. And you heard he backed off because they didn't want him even to ask the questions.
No,
that's the thing.
Right.
That Roberts and then they said, look, if you don't do, apparently they communicated with him, if you don't let him do it, we're going to take a vote. And so he said, okay, you can do it. But no, that's not an impeachable offense.
No, it's not.
Everybody's in the impeach mode now, aren't they?
Yeah. Impeach this guy.
Impeach.
Everybody's impeached.
But finally, the most important story of the day, we need to make sure that we get this out to you.
Mm-hmm.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals has called for the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club to use a robot groundhog with artificial intelligence that could predict the weather.
Why? Is it because the last one died?
Did the last one die?
I don't remember. What happened with the last one? Something happened last year, though.
Right. When Phil is dragged out of his hole and held up to flashing lights and crowds, he has no idea what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Said PETA.
You know, who cares if he knows what's happening or not? You're just holding him up. Unless you're poisoning him. Like they did last year.
And by the way, I love my hometown and where I grew up. But last weekend, I saw a video that one of my friends put on Facebook.
Yeah.
Buffalo Bert.
Oh, really?
They pulled a groundhog. I'm like, what? There's a Buffalo Bert.
I mean, yeah, it goes back to 2016. Punxsutawney Phil died. Well, shouldn't we just quit doing it altogether? If you don't have a Punxsutawney Phil, then you don't have anything.
Right. It's a robot. The Punxsutawney Groundhog Club did not immediately respond to a request for comment.
I just can't wait for the movie to play all day on Comedy Central next week. Yeah. I actually like that movie. I like Bill Murray. Huge fan.
I know.
Yeah, huge fan of Bill Murray.
Yeah, that, I forgot the town in Illinois that was filmed in. I always forget. I used to go by it all the time.
It just looked cold. I mean, it's just ice cold.
Yeah, they filmed that in a small town in Illinois.
Yeah.
I think it's somewhere sort of between Rockford and Chicago.
Hmm. Okay.
Where they filmed that. And I love the quarry scene.
Which one?
The quarry.
Where yeah. You know, where yeah. Goes. Yeah.
And as they're going off, the face of the groundhog right before they go off the cliff.
You're right. Let's not do robots. No AI.
No. I don't think so.
No.
I think Foxitani Phil probably isn't too freaked out.
Yeah. I think they should use a porcupine.
Now, if it was my cat, you'd know if my cat was freaked out. I have the scratches all over
my
arm.
See, something like that. Something combative. A badger or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's use a badger. Exactly. Yeah, you'd have to fight for it.
866-90-RED-EYE.
What's the difference between standard number 2 diesel and premium fuel? Ron Jessen is director of product management for Cenex, the makers of Cenex Roadmaster XL premium diesel fuel, and he fills us in.
You may want to consider the total operational cost behind the price of the pump. If you look at the cost for replacement and you look at the cost of ongoing maintenance, unfortunately, those costs haven't gone down. They've actually continued to increase. But switching to a premium diesel fuel can really result in some large operational savings with the fuel economy and reducing the equipment repair costs. Our fleet owners, if you want to consider trying a premium diesel fuel in the past, or if you have considered it in the past, now is really the time to take advantage of that with the lower diesel fuel prices to try out that premium diesel fuel.
There are more than 1,450 Cenex locations in 19 states across the Midwest and Pacific Northwest. Visit Cenex.com to find a Cenex location and learn more. This report is a service of Shell Rotella.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Will be interesting to see if the battle continues between Rand Paul and Justice Roberts today.
Yeah, that will. Or have they settled in? If they know they've got the votes on the witnesses, is it now just going through the steps?
I think it might.
Yeah. We'll see what happens.